The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
This week's episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Geek Fuel. Go to geekfuel.com/lasertime to sign up for a box of geeky goodies sent to you directly. And if you sign up through geekfuel.com/lasertime, you will get an exclusive Star Wars item worth $20 added to your first box.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody. Welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we're big fans of Satan's boners. This is your host, Bob Mackey, and this is the Lasertime Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Who else is here today?
Christopher Antista.
Henry Gilbert.
Dave Rudden, the Queen of the Hoppies.
Wow.
Queen of the Hoppies.
Somebody had to
crown,
say it.
Your Majesty.
So today's episode is the Season 2 episode, The War of the Simpsons, which aired on May 2nd, 1991. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in history?
Oh boy, Bobby. Pretty Woman is released on VHS. Nolan Ryan pitches a seventh no-hitter, and Garth Woo. Brooks' Thunder Road is deemed unfit to air. In the video, he cheats on his wife and then beats her.
Those are not Whoa. The values I grew up with.
I didn't know that video.
I think I remember that because Beavis and Butthead made fun
They
of
did. Beavis and Butthead got to watch the video, and wow. it didn't get to air on CMT or wherever it was.
I love that
go.
Song. In 1991, I love that song.
Thunder Road and the lightning strikes.
Too spicy for VH1.
Too spicy.
This is the first episode, though, that really, I think, tackles Homer's drinking problem.
Yeah.
And in the end, I think Homer needs an intervention. He doesn't need couples counseling. No. The problem is his drinking.
I mean, Homer is portrayed as an idiot, someone not to emulate, but yeah. I think this is the lowest he's ever been portrayed.
We've never seen him be this drunk for this long ever since.
Out drinks Barney. Like, he's the drunk one at a party with Barney. Other times when Homer gets drunk, it doesn't feel as human as it does in this one.
Like it's that, it's to make a funny joke. Yeah. This it's like very realistically observed drunk behavior.
Though I don't know if I don't know if it's maybe my problem, but I've observed people being way worse while drunk than Homer. Like the ogling thing is bad, but like everything else is like like if this happened at a party, I'd be like that guy's drunk, but it's funny.
But as an adult party,
I also don't get invited to those.
Yeah,
I love well. First, when the party starts, I like that Flanders knows how to make drinks.
Hi, Homer. How are you?
Please, come in. You are.
You're looking
tonight.
Swell. And the house, you've done
you come in, please.
Whatever. Hey, anybody mind if I serve as bartender? You know, I have a PhD in mixology.
College boy.
This is the first interaction of Mo and Flanders.
This is a two-hour course, Mo.
Yeah, they rarely share a scene together, but this is the more like libertine Flanders who can like he's got a pool table and he mixes drinks and he's got a bar.
And I could totally identify with Homer getting drunk on Planter's Punch. That, like it's deceptive. Like
hell is Planter's
stronger?
Punch?
Well, it's just a type of specialty punch that doesn't taste alcoholic.
I'm just like asking, I'm allergic to peanuts.
He says he has three shots of rum in each drink. And it's funny because like this happened to me when my stepdad and my mom visited. Like they're used to drinking, they're working class, so they just drink cheap beer like Miller Lite. So I was like, I'll take you out for some good beer.
Oh God. And like just a Lagunitas IPA?
Pretty much that my parents were hungover the next day because like that beer has literally three times the amount of alcohol as Miller Lite. Like it's 9% or something like that.
I blame that gut for the cheap Keurig we keep getting.
You know, my mom is yeah, my mom is a regular Michelob Light drinker. She has like four sometimes when I'm visiting, and I think, man, that's a lot. But now that you remind me, like, no, it's cheap beer. Like, yeah. you don't really do anything.
Also, Homer is mixing, like, he'll drink, like, at times he has a can of beer, times he has a mixed drink. It's like, that'll get you effed up, like, switching between stuff.
Not really.
Well, you kind of, like, that's where your math gets messed up.
Switching between, you're just drinking to continue drinking, and you're going to get hammered. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter if you mix liquor. Kids don't listen to that. Liquor before beer doesn't make any sense.
No, it's all going to make you
too much alcohol make you puke.
So, as a kid, did you have this kind of moment like Bart has with that?
Come over here.
What?
You little monkey. You're a little monkey, are you?
Yes, sir.
Bart, do that thing you do that's so cute.
What?
That thing you know how to do.
What?
Go to bed.
Interacting with drunk adults as a child, not understanding what drunkenness means, really. Like, they're acting silly. Like, what's wrong? They smell weird.
If you know me from my other podcast, you know I make fun of my parents, but they're actually saints. Yeah. One incident of this, and it's so boring. It was Halloween. I get back from trick-or-treating. I'm like, when are we going to get that stereo for my room? We'll do it tomorrow, son. Okay. Whoa. Can I get a TV? Like, yeah, we'll get you TV. And a VCR? Yeah, and a VCR. And then I wake up the next day, Mom, Dad, study, go get me a TV for my room and VCR. And she had to tell me that your father had a little too much to drink. Aww. And the worst thing he did was promise to get me a stereo early for Christmas.
You should have shook on it. Like, make it official.
Signed an agreement. Yeah. Well, today a kid would have just like filmed it with their camera. Yeah, like, this is an agreement, Dad.
I'll put this on Vine if you don't. It'll be embarrassing.
I don't know if you have any better stories of seeing your parents this.
No, I just remember my biological dad would have like these poker nights, which is what you would expect. Yeah. And it would be a lot of like giant mustache drunk men like calling me over like, you're getting big, you know. Things like that.
Actually, when I was like 2 and 3, I do remember like there's a lot of fucking people in the house, and they keep coming in my room like, whoa, look at him, so cute.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that.
My dad enjoys liquor, but the only time I can really remember it was my mom went to her first, I think only, Jimmy Buffett concert in Jacksonville, and it was the morning, and I was a spoiled kid who was used to my mom, who worked a full-time job, making breakfast in the morning. And so then I wake up like, where's breakfast, Mom? What's up? And she's just like vomiting.
Man, Buffett will do that to you.
And like both my parents are Irish, so when Ireland made it to the World Cup in 1990, and I remember like watching soccer with my mom and dad, who were just getting like crazy drunk because this is the first time in years Ireland's in the World Cup. And it was just a little bit scary to me.
There's a little bit of continuity in this episode from Principal Charming. Barney's there and recognizes Selma.
Yeah, he remembers it. He gets maced in the face. I wish I had that scene.
Oh, you don't have that. Oh, I love that.
That's my quote of the episode. I remember you, but I don't remember you being so beautiful.
Just his ow!
That is great screaming and belching. I should have got this. I did get the fly in the ice cube, though.
Dr. Hibbert! Enjoying your party?
No, not really. Someone seems to have slipped one of those novelty ice cubes with a fake fly in my drink.
It was me. You felt one.
Homer, these novelty ice cubes are often made from highly toxic chemicals. Ironically, a real fly would have been much more sanitary.
You should see the look on your face. It's priceless.
Why the fuck did I get one of those for Christmas this year?
Wow.
They still make those. Wow. And that I like that Hibbert kind of gets revenge later in the night.
If you want him to live through the night, I suggest you roll him onto his stomach.
Thank you. I will, Dr. Hibbert. Thanks for coming.
Remember, I said if.
The other way Homer acts out is he's telling off a complete stranger, telling him he's quitting, and the guy is just kind of like humoring him, like, okay,
don't quit.
Please don't quit.
Yeah.
Well, that system sucks.
But then Homer crosses the line with a thing I didn't get as a kid either. Like,
this is
him,
so bad.
I didn't get what staring at boobs was. Like, I guess, I don't know, I guess I get it, but I get it now.
Yeah. Maude Flanders is banging in this episode.
Yeah. I miss Maude, just in general, not just because, like, oh, she has a nice rack.
She's a nice character.
Could you give me a handful of peanuts, Maude?
Oh, sure.
Not those peanuts. Oh. The ones at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
I see that as him coming now. I'm not to get too dirty.
It's not just that portrayal that Marge never looks away from it. She sees the whole thing. It's so cringe-inducing. And being a drunk person who loves getting drunk and embarrassing himself, I am getting a lot of parallels, especially from like the next day when like I made a huge mistake last night, mm-hmm. and I have to be in my best behavior. But like everything you do, you feel like you keep fucking up and you yeah. can't redeem yourself from.
When Homer's memory of it, I think the Homer trying to remember it is the best animation they'd yeah. had to that
oh,
point.
It's beautiful. Like a New Yorker it's, cartoon.
So stylized. Yeah.
One of the first times I'm like, pause. I want to see how every character in the Algonquin Roundtable turns into people at the party.
This is a parody of the Algonquin Roundtable. In case you don't know what that was, it was a group of like intellectuals, writers, artists that met at the Algonquin Hotel in New York from 1919 to 1929. And that scene is a takeoff on the work of Edmund Duffy, who would like caricature them. This is back when newspapers were like, we're going to go to this restaurant and write what these rich people are talking about.
We hear there's smart people there.
Yeah.
Dorothy Parker said this.
Yeah. So yeah, Dorothy Parker, Groucho Marx, people that you don't know, basically.
I knew one of them. Well, we talked about your dad, Chris. Homer did the same thing to Bart the next day.
You might have noticed Daddy acting a little strange, and you probably don't understand why.
I understand why. You were wasted.
I admit it. I didn't know when to say when. I'm sorry it happened, and I just hope you didn't lose a lot of respect for me.
Dad, I have as much respect for you as I ever did or ever will.
Man, the fact that he's able to like speak coherently would not have a massive hangover.
Yeah. He's less hungover than I thought he would be.
Well, he's really effed up when he wakes up. And Marge, I took the note that Marge didn't turn him over. She was told to turn him over, and she didn't. Like,
But knowing when to say when, is that a phrase that still gets used in anti-drunk driving?
No, I guess.
I don't know. I don't watch syndicated television anymore, where I used to see those kind of things.
Let's know when to say when.
Because nobody even says when. They haven't said when since the 1800s to say stop.
Yeah,
that is true. It's very antiquated
also,
language.
Watching that last night, right when I left here, I drank some cider too fast. I actually was in that Homer disposition of like, no, that thanks, Heidi, for a thing you did. I was better by the time I got home and was writing
notes
about this.
Get the
USB
cable from the bottom.
From the
I think that clip made me. That's why I'm a stomach sleeper most of the time.
Me too.
Yeah. Even though that's like terrible for your back. I mean, it's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Is that why my back hurts today?
Well, yeah, I'm a side sleeper. That's what I am. Which they say is bad for your heart if you sleep on your right side. Yeah. Everything's bad for you guys. Don't
sit
while you work.
We're decaying constantly at this point.
So then Marge signs him up for the couples retreat with Lovejoy. This is Lovejoy gets a lot of work in this episode and Flanders too.
Will the Simpsons be attending our little retreat?
Oh, well, it's very tempting. Really a wonderful idea. Marge! What are you doing? Are you insane? No! Give it a stand! Go!
We'll be there!
Go!
Yeah. Julie and Dan do just such great work together in this episode. Not even just as Homer and Marge, but as other characters later.
Oh, God, yeah. We'll meet those two soon.
Well, then they get... That's also where the fishing subplot came in.
Right. So Homer and Marge go off on a marriage retreat.
It's happening at, literally, I think, Catfish Lake.
Catfish Lake. So from Act 2 on, I contend that Homer could be Tim the Toolman Taylor or any stereotypical sitcom dad. He's just like, I'd rather go fishing than do this couples retreat. And he has a bunch of funny but uncharacteristic, like snarky things to say.
You're right. Yeah. It's not about his drunkenness at this point. It's just about his thoughtless behavior.
Man, he's just like, I don't want to go to this thing.
Could this be is it a reaction like, I was drunk, I wasn't a terrible husband, so now like why should I care about this retreat? I don't have to. It's a problem I don't have to deal with.
The problem was the drinking.
Yeah.
It wasn't emotional friction between
the straw that broke Marge's back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Marge has a lot of complaints.
It's that he's so self-centered.
Wait,
now, Homer.
He forgets birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, both religious and secular. He chews with his mouth open. He gambles. He hangs out at a seedy bar with bums and lowlifes.
It's true. It's all true.
Homer, don't interrupt.
Sorry.
That's a marked difference from the last episode where she's like, well, those are all the reasons I love your father, too.
It's true. She's very different from her love and admiration for him. At least his substitute.
It's all bubbling to the surface. Have we gotten to the part where Grandpa is watching the kids yet?
Oh, sure. Last resort. Old Grandpa the Phoebe. The guy who can't be counted on for nothing. Know-how, dagnabbit. Everyone against me. Aww. I'll do it.
Look, it says again.
What's a Phoebe? Feeble.
Yeah, feeble.
It's kind of... I feel like at that time it was like... well, not the N-word, but a slur towards old people.
Oh, see, I thought they were just saying grandpa was into anime.
No, I think it's anti-handicapped, because I remember in the movie Monster Squad, the main character's little sister, he would call her Phoebe the Phoebe.
It sounds like a Mad Magazine word in any case. Like,
what a bunch of schmendrics.
You dolt.
By that brief Omen parody, I didn't get that as a kid, but that it implies Bart's the worst. Bart's horrible.
Is Damien the devil?
Yeah, he is the devil child who would, at one, try to run over of a young girl.
Sidebar, The Omen is the most frustrating horror movie. I watched it somewhere recently.
It's not very good.
It's not very good. It's basically like Dramatic Irony, the movie, in which the characters do not understand the most obvious thing that's happening to them for 90 minutes until they all get killed.
They
all get killed. It's very unsatisfying.
I bought every Omen movie this Halloween in my 31 days of horror movies. For $4, I got every single one on Blu-ray. And then put it in a box to take it to Amoeba without ever unwrapping it.
Gregory Peck is good in the movie. That's it.
The decapitation by the pane of glass is a cool film death. I like that.
That is cool.
Yeah. But then Bart, it's a neat little B story. They don't give a ton of time to it, but Bart and Lisa taking advantage of Grandpa.
Bart literally smoking a cigar during a scene.
That they couldn't do now, no way. And then they even, that's something that was totally dated by this to me, was that they're like, let's go to the video store and rent R-rated videos Mom and Dad wouldn't let us rent.
The arcade.
Like The Return of McBain.
I can't avenge my partner's death with this pea shooter.
I don't want to hear it, McBain. That tenant of yours is against regulations. In this department, we go by the book.
By book.
The dumbest McBain joke, but one of my favorites.
This is after a Scoey dies.
Yeah.
The talking crazy.
I just got called it on Twitter recently for being like the Donald Trump. This is his words, not mine. Tagging me with Donald Trump. The Donald Trump of McBain coherent storyline deniers. I still stand by. They are doing a parody of this type of movie numerous times, so they have to do a different scene. So, of course, you can cut together looking like they're slightly coherent, but they didn't intend to do it.
Chris, I think I've thought on this more, too, since our last conversations about it. These are very stock scenes, but I think what ended up happening is the artists cared more about the continuity than the writers. Mm. I think the writers may not have had continuity, but definitely the director or whoever on this episode realized, we drew this guy as his boss in the last time we did McBain. Yeah. Let's draw that boss character again.
Yeah, it's also a time and money saver. You have to create a new character.
I believe if you want to call me on, if you look closely, these are all from different McBain movies. They're not the same movie.
Chris is a McBain.
God damn it!
You're a McBain continuity denier.
I'm not a maniac!
Well, and technically, Abe Simpson had seen McBain before. He watched it and wanted his money back.
What is up, Talking Simpsons fans? Chris here, briefly jumping in to tell you this show is brought to you by Geek Fuel. And if you go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, you can get a free Star Wars item worth $20 just for signing up for a mystery box. So what's in the mystery box, you ask? 6 to 8 items, an exclusive t-shirt, and a $50 value of Kit and Caboodle featuring famous stuff from Marvel, DC, Nintendo, Zelda, Game of Thrones, Pop Figs, pint glasses, posters. You never know quite what it's going to be, but it's like a delicious geeky gift that shows up at your door whenever you feel like it. And guess what? They've had Simpsons stuff involved in the box in the past. So go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, sign up for one of their boxes, get it as a gift for a geek in your life, and get a free $20 Star Wars item right now.
So, also, let's talk about General Sherman.
Right. Yeah, that there's the only known picture of the general. Can't see what he is exactly. He's freakishly big, though.
Gentlemen, I am going to catch General Sherman.
Ooh. Oh, my.
I love that Hank's area just old man, like, oh,
it
man.
Is. That's the voice of a character I don't think I've ever heard again on The Simpsons. That kind of...
That Pet Cemetery guy.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Well, it's like, it's a mix of, Maine and sort Well, also, I like the joke as a Southerner. General Sherman is something you'd never name anybody over because he is, for people who like to think the Civil War was only about with the bad things that happened to the South, General Sherman's an awful person who destroyed, who burned down Atlanta, destroyed its society. Like, anyway.
I didn't know the history behind that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd never know. You'd never name something to celebrate General Sherman. Like, he's only known to people who hate him. I don't think anybody in the North knows General Sherman.
And the picture of General Sherman is a parody of the Nessie photo, the famous Nessie photo. And I think
it's called the gynecologist photo too. Because it was done by a gynecologist. Okay. Or that's a fake fact I heard from John Hodgman.
Weird.
In about four years, we'll address Nessie on The Simpsons.
Okay.
God damn
I hate that episode.
That'll be the last episode, man.
Simpsons did a lot of parodying famous photos, which is something I don't think you could do now because everyone just looks at photos all day. I think like Kim Kardashian's butt has been seen more than the Nessie photo by this point.
I would not put it past them for the current Simpsons to parody her breaking the internet.
Oh, but with like fucking Groundskeeper Willie or something.
Something like that.
No, they can't even draw asses anymore on the
show.
They can't smoke.
At least not bare asses.
Then they do the actual couple counseling, and that's where we meet Gloria and John. And this is like one-act Pinter play. I just love this.
My name's Gloria. I'm here because Johnny Boy hasn't been able to cut it man-wise for some time. Not that I'd want his odor of gin and sour defeat pressed against me.
That's enough, Gloria.
Thank you, Gloria. John, why don't you tell us a little about why you're here?
She never cooks. She keeps a filthy house and she talks profanely. She's the queen of the harpies.
No, I'm not.
Here's your crown, your majesty.
Get away from
queen of the harpies.
To the right place.
I love that. They're acting so well. Yeah. I think that's some of Julie Kavner's best acting ever
Julie
on the show.
Julie Kavner, voice of March, who never appears after this as anybody other than a Bouvier.
Yeah.
And Anne Castellaneta, voice of Homer, playing two different married couples.
Mm-hmm. It's such a like stage play thing. Like, it really is. Like, this would be a one-act play you'd see in 1945.
Go ahead.
My one nitpick, they hardly seem like the church-going type. Like, how do they know about this?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe a church friend of theirs?
But did you guys realize this is a parody of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
No,
I didn't.
She's Elizabeth Taylor, and he's Richard Burton.
And that's such a Richard Burton voice.
Definitely.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the movie's great. It's about a drunk, angry couple arguing for 90 minutes. And it is just intense and amazing. And I thought these lines were taken from the movie. And when I watched the movie recently, like, oh, no, they just made this all up. Like, this is all their interpretation. Of that movie.
Because my stupid thing that I misreferenced, my sister and I loved the movie The Last Unicorn. Ever seen The Last Unicorn?
Oh, yeah.
There's a devastating scene of a woman having her guts torn out by a harpy, and she's yelling at it in a blood-curdling scream, and I think my sister would, like, you want to watch The Last Unicorn? Queen of the Harpies! And she would get it, but, like, I was quoting this episode and not the movie.
The coincidence. Yeah, watch that movie. It's great. I love it.
No, I should. I've only seen it reenacted by Lindsay Lohan.
I did. In a recent episode of Laser Time, I had to look up the derivation of the song Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf just to confirm that it was written by Disney for that Three Little Pigs cartoon.
Wow.
And it was such a big song that movie was just, the title was a parody of Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah,
a parody of a nursery rhyme.
I didn't realize that either, man. But
I have one story to tell because of this episode. We're running out of things to talk about. In my English class, we were all assigned British authors to do reports about, and one of my people I knew wasn't a friend. He was assigned Virginia Woolf. Okay, just take anything she's written and do a report on it. Mm-hmm. He did a report on the movie Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And he was seriously dressed down in front of the class like, you thought this was about Virginia Woolf? Did you do any research?
Wow.
He just literally rented that movie, which has nothing to do with Virginia Woolf. It's about a drunk couple in the 60s fighting with each other.
He was unlucky that The Hours didn't exist.
Yeah, like, he could have had a good cheat there.
I shouldn't get on a high horse. I barely know what you're talking about. So I'm sure there's some people listening.
But you could at least, like, whatever.
I do understand, though, but if you're doing it for a class project, come on.
Yeah. What's
your bibliography? Blockbuster.
Something I didn't realize until just now is that the episode is kind of interestingly bookended. That I didn't realize there are two parties in this episode: the grown-up party and then the kids' party.
Oh, cool!
When they're taking so far advantage of Abe that them drinking coffee, I just love. And Nancy does really good acting in this part.
Sugar.
Yes, 10, please.
Grandpa. Top me off.
Are you sure your mom let you kids drink coffee?
For the last time, yes!
I saw a lot of myself in that version of Bart. When I'm working at home and on my fourth cup of coffee, my girlfriend talks to me like, what is it?
Oh, yes. Okay, so when I go home and work at my parents' house during the holidays, I am absolutely like that.
Like, completely wired.
Do you want any food for the 14th time? No! Let me work!
And the party has two firsts. The introduction of one of the most arrested characters in Simpsons history.
Arresting.
Bart's joint. Two-ish. Be there, be square.
Tell my friends. All right, but
I got some pretty funky friends.
All right. I get out at noon, and I'm already invited to a party.
Is that him?
That's
him?
That's the first Snake.
Appearance of Snake?
So, and his name is even discussed heavily among the writers. So, they called him Jailbird. In the script, he is Jailbird. Right, and when they brought him back other times, he is Jailbird. But in Black Widower, the episode where season 3, where Sideshow Bob will marry Selma, he calls him Snake. He's like, Snake, I'm going to miss you most of all.
Yeah.
But the contention of writers like George Meyer, who is seen as one of the creators of Jailbird, he said, that character was not supposed to be animated to be Jailbird. The person he calls Snake should have been a different guy. But then they were already screwed up with, like, no, we've called him Snake on the show. And so now, I think in the last decade, they had an episode where he directly names himself as Snake Jailbird. That is his name. Snake Jailbird is his last name.
So has there been an episode of just about him? I feel like he's the one character they...
They had a flashback episode where he decides to turn to life at crime. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one where Homer finds the body of Smithers' dad.
Oh, right.
You remember that one?
The Blunder Years?
Yeah, I think it's the Blunder Years, where Homer just starts screaming or whatever.
I also forgot to mention, I'm just remembering it now, Mr. Bergstrom did come back for a one-off gag in like one of the recent
seasons.
Really? Mentioning it here.
And then the other first, kind of. So the next episode has this for the real first, but this is technically the first ha-ha.
Oh! Ow! Ah! Ellie,
it's such a rough
draft. Do you want me to take off my belt?
Yeah.
All right, I'll show you. Got it.
See, it's the three.
And way slower.
It's kind of sleepy. It's like,
Well, meanwhile, the true ha-ha is in the next episode where he literally rides by and buttons a joke by pointing and laughing. Ha-ha.
Really? But, so they established a running gag that quickly.
I'm glad they shortened it to two ha's.
He didn't do it at all in Bart the General?
No, this is the first one. Like, they mentioned it in the commentary, too. It's the first ha-ha. Like, it is a big, big deal, the first ha-ha.
Yeah, I think his bullying was all violence back then, but now it's ridicule. So.
Well, this is when he becomes slightly more Bart's friend. Like, he's a bad friend, but he's there as a friend. Like, he steals his dad's ties and stuff. Yeah. Like, he's terrible.
And whenever Bart needs, like, a third or fourth friend, he's always there to join a boy band or go on a road trip.
Because he's not as bad as Dolph, Jimbo, or Kearney.
Nelson.
Nelson's a little below them, but sometimes he does hang out with them.
So we have to go back to the A plot, I guess, which is I forgot how Homer ends up. He tries to sneak out, and Marge catches him, and I think he has to go out and ponder it. And he finds like a fishing rod sitting there, and that's how the General Sherman stuff starts.
Yeah, it's a real conceit that he just
he was trying to do
fault.
The right thing.
He was trying to do the right thing, but okay. So which side are you on here? I'm on Marge's side. He literally can go fishing anytime. Like maybe not as an adult. It's actually hard for him to get away from the house and go fishing, but. Just, you know, 6 months from now, go fishing, fish for General Sherman. You don't have to do it on a couple's retreat. The one time she asks him not to do it.
I'm with Marge. I don't think he's shown a desire to fish before or since.
No.
So, like, how important is fishing to him, really?
I had written, I don't know how important fishing is. I'm an obnoxious Californian, as are all of you. How important is fishing to any generation at this point?
I think,
apt to bond with me and go fishing. I'm like,
TV
I hate
dads,
this.
I feel like TV dads love fishing.
I hate it.
And it, like, it fits in line with, like, middle class kind of things like light loving bowling and going to the bar.
It's like in comic strips where the dad's like, I love golfing. It's time to golf. Like every dad, because the cartoonist loves golfing.
Yeah.
That's why.
And because of that and the fact that it seems like it's far away and the fact that it wasn't his rod or bait, like it's not his fault and he's just caught up in it at that point.
I remember sympathizing, like, Marge, go easy on him. He wanted to do the right thing, but nah, fuck Homer.
Yeah.
On a certain level, it is magic too. They kind of take the ending as true, then General Sherman is magic and a matchmaker.
He should have dropped the rod like immediately. Oh shit, the meeting is starting right now. I should leave.
But this bit, this next line where Reverend Lovejoy sums up Marge's relationship, like it's my line of the show.
That's the joke.
Marge, as a trained marriage counselor, this is the first instance where I've ever told one partner that they were 100% right. It's all his fault. And I'm willing to put that on a certificate you can frame.
I'm willing to put that on a certificate you can frame.
Like a novelty frame you'd buy your parents for Christmas.
By the way, that Satan's Boners thing I introduced the show with, that's from a pamphlet he's talking about. And there's another one called Good Grief, More Satan's Boners.
So, that recalls to me, like I used to... at my local library, like they would have sports blooper videotapes.
Oh, love those.
So it'd be like, yeah, like baseball bloopers one, and oh, good grief, baseball bloopers part
Dazzling
two.
Dazzling dunks and basketball bloopers.
Prefer the Wonder Shows and God's Biggest Boners.
Yeah. Boner! Boner! put these three Holy Lands on top of each other. What a boner!
Yeah, look that up on YouTube. I'm sure it's there. It's
we should do Wonder Shows now, man.
It's so, it'll be a short series.
Yeah, a limited series just for Patreon.
And then we have to do the last episode in reverse. And
so until this viewing of it, I knew Homer was singing, I thought he was singing, I am the champion, after he catches General Sherman, mm-hmm. which is a whole, like, old man in the sea bit, kind of.
Yeah.
But he sings, I thought he sang, I am the champion. But re-listening to it, he really just bungles it up and pluralizes champions mm-hmm. while saying, I am the champion.
I am the champion, I am the champion, no time for losers, cause I am the champion of the world.
Yeah, never would have picked up on that as a kid, but
well, I didn't know the song.
But also, as we're rewatching them in order, like that's that sticks around with Homer, him missing like missing lyrics.
I mean, sometimes I just groan when I hear saxophone. I'm like, come on, Homer, come on.
When the Saints go over there,
that was fun. That was fun.
This episode, they probably had to spend a lot on music rights because during the party, they had
in the
some
party,
stuff.
Jones? I had that note too. That it is like the most licensed music I think they'd ever had in one episode, and I don't think they intended it, but them playing Tom Jones at the party, I think, sets up that Marge likes Tom Jones, that as will be exploited in season 4.
Clever.
Okay, I think Marge forgives Homer way too fast.
I fought it for 6 hours. She says one word and I toss it back. And you're telling me our marriage is in trouble? Come here, baby.
Oh, Homer.
Yes, we're at Homer basically ends it like, you forgive me.
Yeah, he talks for both sides,
me,
right? Really.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, Homer. And that's such a cliche on The Simpsons now. Just like, oh, Homer. Yeah.
Though I guess we saw John and Gloria patch it up really fast.
But it also doesn't make sense, because if she understood the magnitude of what Homer did, she probably would have let him keep the fish.
Yeah, at that point, she would have said, fuck it. You caught a good, nice fish. Just keep it.
if she believed him.
Though, again, to bring up the legality, not his rod, not his bait.
You
have to find that kid and share the share
the need
trip.
To consult the fishing experts. Call us at TalkingSimpsons.com.
I do love catfish. Fish though, I can go for
really good.
Catfish breakfast.
I love catfishing people.
They are they are bottom feeders, but I love them.
They're
but,
so gross.
Oh, and by the way, Matt Groening. There's one thing he hates. It's animals acting in a cartoonish human fashion, and even just rewatching it on the commentary, he's just like, ugh, when the fish winks to the camera.
I didn't need to do that.
The joke is that it's a stupid idea. I think this should not be happening, and it's just like a weird button to end the episode on.
Yeah, it's a lampshade hanging totally, but it still is. I don't know. It really does take you out of it. I think sometimes Matt Groening is way too hard on the cartooniness of a show. It's like, they shouldn't cry that much. That's too many tears. But
I think his direction helped kind of ruin the look of the show. And not ruin, but sort of damage it and make it less expressive.
When I've read what kind of style that he likes, it is not very cartoony.
You look as the show progresses, the characters are much more flat or it's like he contained.
Wanted to make it King of the Hill all the time. Like, characters can never do this.
We've all been using Frinkiac lately, Simpsons image search engine. And when you see these stills from seasons 4, 5, 6, and 3, there are these amazing poses, a tiny bit off model, but just so expressive. And those are just kind of stamped out by season 8 or 9, I think.
No more Twister Mouth.
Yeah.
There's so many Twister Mouths in the next episode. It's the most Twister ever.
Wes Archer, you've done it again.
And then I guess it just ends with them coming back and. They have to wrap up the party and the Bart and Lisa cleaning up the whole place.
Because Grandpa is sad.
But he tricked him.
That's right. You heard me pretending to cry. I can turn it on and off like a faucet. Oh, I'm crying. I'm so sad.
Way to go, Grandpa. We'll never trust another old person.
I fooled you! So long, suckers!
I really like that moment. I think it's good Grandpa. Yeah.
I like how he just strolls away in his slippers. I guess he's going back.
Into the middle of the street I'm out of here! Bye. Like, you gonna walk back to the retirement community?
I do like the constant slippers on Grandpa. It's a great touch I don't think you brought up before.
Jeez, I guess the only other bit I'd mention is that they brought back chocolate chip or the triple chocolate stuff from from Krusty Gets Busted when they're buying all the chocolate.
Oh, right. That was once a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, the ice cream industry just stole from The Simpsons. Like, oh, people want triple chocolate? Get it at Baskin Robbins.
Here's a delicious way to kill yourself.
I didn't get a good look at it, but it looked like Lisa snuck healthy things on there, too. I thought I saw broccoli.
Oh, really?
And I was like...
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense what you would do.
We got beets!
We got beets!
I love that.
Love that.
So, yeah, I think this is kind of a weaker episode, especially coming right after Lisa's substitute. Oh, I would put it down with maybe Dog of Death in terms of my least favorite.
It's got good jokes. There are good jokes in it and good acting. Oh, I forgot to mention, too, at the couples retreat, they originally wrote, they mentioned this on the commentary, too, that it went through a big rewrite, that Addit was supposed to be Mrs. Krabappel with her ex-husband.
I believe his name was Ken Krabappel. They at least gave a name. So that's canon, people.
And that Mr. Burns was going to be there with a mail-order bride, but they said they couldn't write the scene for any way that it didn't feel like she was a prostitute.
So I bet they were dying to put Burns in this. They were dying.
I know. They were looking to fill a Burns hole everywhere they could. Like, what if Burns did this? Like, no, guys, we can't do Burns every episode.
Why would he go to a retreat when he could just like pay for marriage counselor? Yeah.
Or just get a new mail order bride.
Exactly. Yeah.
Take it back, Smithers.
So yeah, that was Talking Simpsons. Thanks so much for listening. As always, I'm your host, Bob Mackey. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for Something Awful and US Gamer. And I also host the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts. Woo. You can find that at retronauts.com or usgamer.net, or just search for it in whatever program you use to listen to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, what do you do?
Laser Time, a fun show that I co-host with a bunch of you guys, and that's it. Thank you for the patronage. This started through a crowdfunding effort. Thank you for bringing this into an existence. And if I haven't said it before, if you go to TalkingSimpsons.com, you can see every single episode that we've done.
Except for the first season, which is on Patreon.com.
Exclusive to the people who made this a reality.
Yep. Check that out there. There's also 302010. If you liked our discussion of the things that happened on this day in Simpsons history, we have this podcast where we talk about the pop culture events 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago in sequence. It's pretty fun, guys.
It's like a little audible portal into the past of that week.
Cheap podcast. I really have to figure out a way to regularly tie in wrestling with The Simpsons when I do this plug right here, but I
found the only one that was Bret Hart, the only wrestler to ever be on The Simpsons.
Oh, man, stink.
And I got you that action figure of Bret Hart.
Oh, they made one?
Yeah, they made a couple
of The Simpsons.
They did a guest star live.
Oh, right.
Yeah, NECA Toys, neat. I believe, has several waves of celebrity guest stars.
The recently cancer-ridden Bret Hart.
Now he could be dead by the time this episode airs. Oh, yes. That's risky talk.
Now make God tap out.
So thanks so much for listening. Also, please leave us a review on the iTunes Music Store or a comment. I love reading comments. I like hearing what you guys think about the show and things that we might have missed. Even as we're huge nerds, we still miss stuff sometimes. But yes, please do that. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, guys. Later.
Infotainment.